In this world, we all have struggles. We face opposition, we get challenged, and sometimes we even want to give up. The reason is simple. This world is not our home. Hi, this is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at West Valley Christian Church. In one of the greatest sermons ever preached, Jesus describes what life in community looks like when they all come under the gracious rule of God. He highlights we are called to be different. Join us as we take a deep look at Christ's words. We hope you enjoy.
All right. Good morning, everybody. All right. Good to see everybody here. I'm just going to start by telling you about my family a little bit. So on my mom's side of the family, my mom grew up with four brothers. And like when I was in my 20s, if you'd asked me what I learned from my uncles, I would have probably said I didn't learn anything. Okay? But now that I'm a little bit older, I'm not old, but I'm older. Now that I'm older, I look back and I think to the things that I learned from my uncles. And I think from each one of my uncles, I've learned something different. So my Uncle Gene was the oldest in the family. And from my Uncle Gene, I learned the value of being a hard worker. I can't remember what department store he worked at, but he was a manager of a department store. And my Uncle Gene was always working. He was a hard worker. Matter of fact, whenever we had family get-togethers, my Uncle Gene was always working. So I'm not sure if he was a hard worker or if he was just the wise one in the family, you know? I'm not sure. So that's what I remember about him. My Uncle Dean is my second uncle. And you guys have heard me talk about my Uncle Dean before. I don't hold it against you if you don't remember it. But my Uncle Dean introduced me to two of the most important things in my life. Okay, so my Uncle Dean was the first person that ever sat me down and talked to me about Jesus. And so I remember going to church with him, and I'd never really gone to church before. And I remember my uncle sitting me down and sharing with me about Jesus. And so even though I think I was 8 years old at the time, and I didn't really understand what he was trying to tell me, but I so appreciate those seeds that he planted in my life at that time. The other thing my Uncle Dean introduced me to was ESPN, okay? My favorite channel in the world, and it was back in the 70s. I was spending the summer, late 70s, I was spending the summer at my Uncle Dean and my Aunt Pam's house, and I remember watching TV and coming across this channel, and I was like, what in the world is this? This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Okay, now back in the late 70s, ESPN was nothing but bull riding and bowling, and yet I still thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. Okay, so my Uncle Dean taught me about Jesus. My Uncle Dean showed me ESPN. Now, if he had just introduced me to air conditioning, that would have been my holy trinity right there. Okay, but I'd experienced that already. So my Uncle Gene, my Uncle Dean, my third uncle is my Uncle Joe. And from my Uncle Joe, I feel like I learned the value and the importance of getting an education. Not that there aren't other people, but my Uncle Joe was the first person that I remember getting a college degree. And I just remember talking with him and the importance of an education. I also think I learned my competitive streak from my Uncle Joe. My family, we used to have family softball games when I was a kid. And they would get rather heated, okay? Because we were a very competitive family and everybody wanted to win. And I remember some family softball games where there were some just knockdown fights over whether a ball was fair or foul. Okay, and the fair line was a glove that was out in the outfield, you know, so how ridiculous was that? But so I think I learned some of my competitiveness from my Uncle Joe. And then my fourth uncle is my Uncle Alan. And my Uncle Alan is probably the one that I am the most like. My Uncle Alan lived with us several times when I was a kid. And so I just spent a lot of time with him. And over time, you know, he was more than my uncle. He was one of my best friends. And my kids, I often tell people that if my kids ever do or say anything that's wrong, that they learned it from me. Amen. Okay, clearly they didn't learn it from, don't worry, you'll get your chance, Pastor Greg. Anyway, if there's anything ever wrong that they did, if they ever got in trouble in school, they ever told a joke they shouldn't have told, they ever did anything, they got it from me and not their mother. But the truth is, they got it from my Uncle Alan, okay? Because I got my sense of humor from him. I got everything inappropriate about my life I learned from him. Boy, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Anyway, I love my Uncle Alan. But one of the things, so my Uncle Alan and I were a lot alike. But one of the ways in which we were different, and some of you might not agree that we are different, but my Uncle Alan was what I would call an instigator. Okay? My Uncle Alan was one of those guys that loved to wreak havoc in a room. Okay, now, he wasn't serious. Like, he wasn't trying to start arguments that, like, people were heated and hated each other or anything like that. But he loved just riling people up. Okay? My grandma was a bit of a worrier. And so I know that my uncle would always show up late to family events just to get my grandma going. Okay? Just to get her going, he would show up late. He was probably ready a half hour earlier. And he's like, nope, I'm not leaving until I'm late to get over there. Or he'd be the kind of guy that at a family get-together. You know, I don't know if you're like my family, but you may not always agree with everything in your family. Okay, like you all might not always be on the same page. But what my uncle would do, my uncle would see two family members that he knew disagreed about something, and then he would stroll on over there and say, hey guys, what about this? You know, and so he would bring it up, you know. So if you disagreed about religion, he'd go over there and say, hey, you know, what about Jesus, you know? Or not that he ever did that, but like if it was whatever the issue was, he just loved doing that. And again, he was never really trying to cause any real strife. He just was having a good time, okay? And I remember, I don't know, this was probably 10, 11, 12 years ago. I remember being at a family event at my Uncle Joe's house, and my Uncle Alan had just done that. He just walked over, stirred the pot, and then walked towards me, and he had just a big smile on his face because he was so pleased with what he had accomplished, okay? And so I have learned a lot of things from him, but I like to think that I am not an instigator. No comment from anybody else that feels differently, because he really meant it all in good fun, okay? But you know what? We all do have people in our lives that are instigators. It could be, well, it could be you, okay? It could be a sibling, it could be a friend, it could be a coworker. Like, we all have people that like to cause trouble, that like to cause problems. And so we've been going through these Beatitudes for the last, like, 7 weeks. I think this is our 7th week on the Beatitudes. And our Beatitude for today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 is this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And so we, like I said, we've been going through these Beatitudes, looking at these traits that Jesus was teaching his followers back then, and he was saying to them, hey, listen, this is what you should be like. Okay? Like these traits that he's been teaching his followers about, he was teaching them and he's teaching us, this is what you and I should try to be like. This is the kind of character that you and I should have. He wasn't saying, hey, pick one of these and work on it. Okay, he was saying, listen, these 8 things, these should be what I see in your lives. And so hopefully, as we've been going through these Beatitudes, you've been taking them personally and thinking about them in your own life and thinking, okay, what do I need to do differently? How do I need to change my life? You know, they're teaching us, like, we are not supposed to be self-sufficient. Okay, now, okay, there's some areas we should be self-sufficient, but we're not supposed to be self-sufficient in the fact that we're supposed to come to the Lord broken, poor in spirit, humbly. We're not supposed to be self-satisfied with our life, but we should be mourning over our sinfulness. We aren't supposed to be selfish or self-willed, but we need to be meek like Jesus was. We aren't to be self-righteous, but we ought to come to him hungering and thirsting for the righteousness that only he can give us, that only God can offer. And so these Beatitudes, they're going through and they're talking about these characteristics. And then we get to week 5. And I preached on week 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You and I, we ought to be the most merciful people in the world because we understand all that God has done for us. We understand how much mercy God has surely, truly shown us. And so when we recognize what God has done for us, how dare we be any different with the people around us? How dare we be any different with the people in our lives? And then last week, Pastor Rob talked about, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect in order to see God. Because really, if you remember, as Pastor Rob was talking about having a divided heart. And as I read, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, really he's talking about us being, not being hypocritical, not talking out of both sides of our mouth, but being true to who God wants us to be, and that we will see God. And so then today, it's blessed are the peacemakers. And before we get any further into what it means to be a peacemaker, you know, I don't know if you guys ever do this, but sometimes as you read the Bible, there are things that you're like, wait a second, I feel like that says something different than what this other passage says. Like there's something contradictory in what's going on here. And so as I was thinking about this week, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, there's a passage just a few chapters later in Matthew chapter 10 that says something a little different that might cause us to be a little confused. So if you have your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 34. Because this is Jesus speaking again. This is still Jesus talking. And he says, don't suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. What? Wait a second. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That doesn't sound like a peacemaker to me. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Matthew 5 tells us there were to be peacemakers. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells us that he didn't come to bring peace. What is he trying to say? In Matthew chapter 10, I think Jesus is reminding us, and he's telling us, listen, conflict is an unavoidable consequence of his coming. You know, as we read through the Gospels, and even Pastor Rob talked about it last week, he read from Matthew chapter 7. At the end of Matthew chapter 7, it talks about how the people, do you guys remember what they were? They were what? Anybody remember? By Jesus' teaching? Okay, I'm sure everybody at home said it loudly, okay? In Matthew chapter 7, he said that they, Matthew 7 said that they were amazed at the teaching of Jesus. Okay, some of you did say it here in the crowd here. So, but they said that they were amazed at the teaching of Jesus. They said that he spoke with authority, like they weren't used to the kind of authority that Jesus spoke with. But you know what? Just like there were those that were amazed at the speaking of Jesus, there were also those that hated what Jesus said. You see, whenever Jesus preached, there were some that were saying yes to Jesus, and there were some that were saying no to Jesus. There were always some that were saying, yeah, this is what I needed to hear, and there were always others that were in the crowd there saying, we ought to kill this guy. Okay? And so Matthew 5 and 10, they do go together because the reality is as Christians, there are always going to be people that support what we do, that agree with us. Probably most of you sitting in this room or watching online right now. But there are also going to be people that don't like it. They're going to think, you know, whatever they want to think and say things that are mean. Okay? That's the reality of following Jesus. There are going to be some people that are like, yes, that makes sense. And other people that are very, very much against it. And so I don't think Matthew 5 and 10 disagree with each other. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that following him, there was going to be conflict because of that. So what does it mean for us? Well, number one, none of us are Jesus, okay? So in our lives, we ought to be attempting to bring peace, okay? There's some verses that I want us to look at that I think reinforce this thought. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it'll be on the screen, I think. Yep, there it is. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. We are to seek peace. We are to pursue peace. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Hebrews chapter 12 just comes right out of the gate with it in verse 14. He says, make every effort to live in peace. Make every effort to live in peace. Not try a little bit. Make every effort. You and I need to be trying to make every effort to live in peace with other people, with everyone, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. And then in Romans chapter 12, same idea. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What's he saying? Listen, you can't control what anybody else does. You can't control whether somebody else wants to live peaceably with you. But you can control your desire to live peaceably with others. You can't control how other people are going to respond to you, but you can control how you respond to other people. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Man, we could spend all day just looking at that last verse, verses 17 through 19. There's some really challenging things being said in that section there. But Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus is calling you and he's calling me to be peacemakers. And I feel like this is a very timely beatitude for our world today. Because I feel like our world is desperate for people that are willing to put in the hard work involved in being peacemakers. I don't know if you understand this or know this, but we live in a world that is very divided. I mean, everybody knows that. Okay? That was facetious. But like as I turn on TV, it just seems like everybody's so angry. Like I don't really watch the news much, okay? I just don't. And part of it's because when you turn on the news, everybody's always yelling. And it doesn't matter what side of the issue you're on, both sides, they're always yelling. They're always so angry. And I just don't get it. Why is everybody so angry? And so, like, you can't have a rational conversation with people about politics anymore. Now, maybe you never could. I don't know. But you just can't. Because it seems like with people nowadays, if you don't agree with them, clearly you are their enemy. And that's just as ridiculous. And as Christians, we ought to be able to be better. And we ought to do better. We ought to be able to talk with anybody. We don't have to agree with everybody, but we ought to be able to talk with anybody. And we also ought to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. We need to be peacemakers. You know, I love Twitter, okay? I don't really do much other social media. I find it to be a waste of time, but I love Twitter because on Twitter is where I get my breaking news and I get my sports highlights. Now, let me warn you about the dangers of the breaking news part because it's breaking news, but it's not always right. But if you want to know something first, Twitter is the place to find it. Twitter always knows what's going on in the world. Now, again, what it's saying isn't always right, but it gets there first. And I also like Twitter because I can get my sports highlights on there. Like this morning, not now, but in the first service, both of my favorite soccer teams in the world were playing at the same time. I was obviously a little busy during first service, okay? So what was I able to do during the break in between the two services? I was somewhere praying. No, I was on Twitter looking for highlights of those games. And so I love it for that. And you may not use it for that. This is a true story, and I don't care what he says. Pastor Greg only goes on Twitter so he can look at cat videos, okay? That's what he does. He goes on there and he looks for cat videos and stupid things like that. Wait a second. Maybe I am like my Uncle Alan. Hold on. Okay, anyway. Rein it in. Okay. But so like if you go on those places, though, like Twitter, as much as I love it for those things, man, if you make the mistake of clicking on the wrong thing, like if you're on the trending section of Twitter and you make the mistake of clicking on the wrong thing that's trending, you just read and hear of people being so mean and vile to other people, you know? And whenever I do that, I have to quickly go, oh, get away from this. You know, because that isn't the stuff that you and I, if we're going to be peacemakers, should be filling our minds with. Like I said, sometimes I make the mistake of clicking on the wrong thing. I go, oh, no. And every once in a while, I make the mistake of clicking on the wrong thing. And I read something that maybe one of you posted. And I say to myself, oh, no. Okay, because you know what? It doesn't matter which platform you use. You know, the next time before you post something, think to yourself, is this something that Jesus would want me to post? Is this something that Jesus would want me to say? Is this something that a peacemaker puts out there for the world? Because, you know, we aren't called to be dividers. We aren't called to be negative. We are called to be peacemakers. And you know what? Our time and our generations, we're not the only ones that know about conflict and division. As a matter of fact, the early church had to deal with their own issues, had to deal with their own difficulties. And actually, you know, one of the biggest struggles in the early church is probably something that you and I can't even possibly understand. Okay? And I'm going to attempt to explain it, and I will come up woefully short, okay, of how important this was. But I don't know if you realize this or not, but all of the early followers of Jesus were Jewish. They were all Jewish. The whole early church was Jewish, okay? And it wasn't until a little while later, okay, Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. The gospel is shared with the Gentiles, okay? And so now you have the early church that is Jewish, and now you start having these Gentiles coming to church, and it did nothing but create conflict. Why? Because for thousands of years, the Jewish people were separated from everybody else. Like God, in his covenant with them, was like, stay away from everybody else. Keep yourself pure. Keep away from everybody else. And now, in the early church, you have Jewish people and you have these Gentiles. And by the way, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile, okay? You have a church where you have people from totally different backgrounds that are nothing alike that are now trying to come together and worship God together. And they bring all their baggage along with it, okay? And so the early church knew about difficulties. They knew about conflict. They knew about people being separate and being different. And again, I can't really do justice. Like, I feel like 2,000 years later, you and I can't possibly even understand how difficult that was in the early church. I can't possibly explain what a challenge that was for them. But in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing and he's addressing this conflict or this challenge. And he says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ. You and I, if you're a Gentile in the room, we were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen? We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of his hostility. Jesus has divided the walls. Jesus has divided everything or destroyed everything that was keeping us apart. That's what he's saying there. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Through Jesus, you're bringing the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians together. What a challenge that must have been. Verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. He's reminding them of how they used to be apart and how Jesus has brought them together. It is reminding us of the same thing. And so this morning, I want to share with you all what I think are six things to help us become better peacemakers. You know, Pastor Kirby, when I first started preaching, said KISS, which stood for Keep It Simple, Stupid. Okay? And no, he really did tell me that, by the way. And I like to think that I've spent my life trying to write sermons that is true for. And none of these things that I'm going to tell you are like, oh, wow, I've never heard that before. But I really think we'd all be better peacemakers if we put them into action. Number one, we need to be at peace with God. We ourselves need to be at peace with God. If we're going to be peacemakers with others in our lives, we need to be at peace with God ourselves. The most important relationship that you and I need to care about and nurture is our relationship with the Lord. And when we nurture that and care for that properly, then that's going to help us be peacemakers with others in our lives. Because as we are right with him, God is going to help us to see people the way we ought to see them. So instead of seeing people through our worldly, sinful eyes, hopefully we see them through the eyes of the Lord. We see people how God sees them, especially those difficult and troubling people in our lives. Instead of seeing them through the eyes of the world and getting angry and hostile with them, we see them as someone, you know what, as difficult as that person is, and as annoying as that person is, that is still a person that Jesus loves. And that's still a person that God cares about, and God wants me and you to care about. Secondly, we need to listen more than we talk. I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever been in an argument or a disagreement with somebody, and as they're talking, you're not even listening, you're just thinking about your reply? Okay, you know what that does? It just makes things worse. Okay, you and I, if we're going to be peacemakers, you know, we need to learn to actually listen to people as they're talking. Instead of thinking of your retort, instead of thinking of your reply, think to myself, what are they really trying to say to me? What is really going on here? And really listen. Okay, I told you, it wasn't, you know, we're not talking about something that's very difficult to say, but it's also, it's very difficult to do sometimes, isn't it? Listen. Listen, listen more than you talk. Thirdly, you need to think before you speak and act. Think before you speak and act. You know, quite often the lack of peace in our lives can be traced back to something stupid we've said or done. Something stupid we've said or done that we said or we did before we spent too much time thinking about it. And so most of us would be better peacemakers if we spent a little more time thinking before we spoke or before we did things. You know, like you're in an argument and you say something and your immediate response is, oh, I didn't mean that. You know what? That's not true. Because when you said that at that moment, that is absolutely what you meant. And you can apologize and try to take it back, but it's too late. And so we need to really think before we speak and act. Fourthly, don't be afraid of conflict. Now, this might sound like a contradiction to what we've been talking about here, but like, listen, as peacemakers, we're not supposed to just avoid everything. Sometimes we have to deal with situations. Sometimes in order to get to peace, you have to work through a problem. Okay? Like if you appease somebody just to make him happy, just to have peace, guess what? That person is always going to come back for more. When they get a little, they're going to come back and want a lot. Okay? When you get a little, you're always going to want to go back for more. And so sometimes you have to deal with a little bit of conflict in order to reach a peaceful resolution. You don't have to agree 100% on something, but you have to be able to work through it. You have to be able to talk about it. You have to be able to have difficult conversations. And we can't have peace by just ignoring it and by just letting it go. Sometimes in order to be a peacemaker, you need to have that little bit of conflict. You need to work through that situation. Fifthly, you need to forgive early and you need to forgive often. Okay, we need to forgive early and we need to forgive often. We're all imperfect people and we are going to hurt people and other people are going to hurt us. And no matter how hard we try, there's going to be those moments when we are not at our best. And no matter how hard the people try in our lives, there are going to be moments where they're not at their best. And some of those people might not even be trying to be at their best. And so you and I, for our own sake and theirs, we need to learn to forgive. Because when we hold on to anger and hostility and bitterness because of what somebody's done, who are we hurting really? We're hurting ourselves. Quite often those people don't even have a clue. They don't even have any idea that we've done something, you know, that there's anything going on. And we're only hurting ourselves. And so we need to forgive. We have to learn to forgive. And lastly, and I don't just mean this flippantly, I mean this real. Like, we need to learn to pray. We need to pray about the things that are going on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. We need to be praying about the situations that we're facing. We need to be asking the Lord for wisdom and guidance. This is, I think, the third sermon in the Beatitudes that I've preached. And for me, as someone writing a sermon, this one has been hard. I'm not saying that it's hard because, like, I think I've lived an easy life. But, like, to be truthful, I just don't understand conflict in life. Because my parents weren't perfect, but I didn't grow up in a negative home. You know, there weren't any problems, but, like, conflict wasn't part of my daily life. And it hurts me to think that there are people that have grown up in homes where there's constant conflict, or in situations where there's constant difficulty and challenge and negativity. And the reality is, praying to the Lord and asking for his help sometimes is all that we're able to do. You know, like I think it ought to be the first thing that we do and the last thing that we do. Is saying, okay, Lord, you know what's going on. You know what the struggle is right now. Lord, help me in this situation. In Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite verses, 6 and 7, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In every situation, you and I need to bring those things to the Lord so that we could find that peace. And I think also so we could bring that peace into other people's lives. I mentioned earlier, we just live in such a divided time. And you know, even as you think about our world these last couple of weeks, there's so much struggle, so much conflict, so much difficulty, whether it's the people in Haiti or the situation in Afghanistan, you know, or just thinking about the idea that there are 13 families this week who lost loved ones in Afghanistan. And obviously there were way more than that, but those are our soldiers. You know, and as I read their names yesterday, I just couldn't help but think, man, imagine being one of their families, their mom, their dad, and the difficulty of that. You know, I think of today, even as we're sitting here, you know, a hurricane going towards Louisiana. And, you know, as a church, we went 3 times to help clean up in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And as I thought about this new hurricane going in a very similar path, I thought about some of those people that we met 15 years ago, 16 years ago, and the trauma that they went through then. And I was thinking, man, how difficult must that be for someone who has already been through this once to now having something like that coming towards them again? What are you and I able to do? Nothing other than to be praying for all those people. And so what I want us to do as we close is just take a moment to pray. And just prayer, silent prayers for 15 or 20 seconds, and then I'll close us together. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come here for us. And I thank you that because of what he did, we are able to have peace with you. And so I pray, Lord, first of all, for every one of us that's here today or hearing this, that you would help us to find that peace with you first. But then, Lord, help us to be peacemakers in a world full of division, full of anger and hate. Lord, I pray for those families and people that are just going through difficult and hard times right now. Lord, I pray that in every situation, that they would lay those things down at your feet. But Lord, I also pray for people in their lives to come alongside them and to hold them and to lift them up and to keep them going. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be peacemakers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at wvcch.org, or you can join us live in one of our Sunday services. Have a great day. You forget all my rebellion.